and so she was even in prison. Now, here's one thing about Queen Liliuokalani. When she was a young girl, she went to royal school right here in town, taught by the missionaries, and she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And in prison, house prison, even though she could have caused a huge military explosion because of her authority, she instead chose to forgive. For she said, it's these people that came and taught me about Jesus, and that Jesus taught me to forgive.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled The Steps of Forgiveness, where we learned that forgiveness and justice go hand in hand, but we need to forgive and let God take care of the justice. Too often, we want to take matters into our own hands. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Steps of Forgiveness.
So, okay then, I'll just tell somebody, I forgive you, but watch what God's about to do to you. No. No, you can't do it. God's going to get you in the end, buddy. No. In fact, it's going to come up on the PowerPoint, and it's not in your notes, but let me read this. It says this in Proverbs. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, or the Lord will see it and be displeased and turn his anger away from him. You understand? The scope of forgiveness is understanding how I partner with God. Will God be just? You better believe it. And so my role, in order to release him to his role, my role is to forgive, trusting in God. I forgive. God, I know you'll do this a whole lot better than I, because if I take it into my hands, it kills me. And the hate, when I put it into my vessel, will destroy me far sooner than upon whom I pour it. It corrodes my soul. So it allows God to be God. Now you say, okay, well, what if somebody keeps messing with me then? Well, here it is. You may be violated in some way and you forgive. But here it is. Would you write down? Write down. Be wise, but not vindictive. Be wise. If someone bilks you, don't go and let them do it again or a third time. Forgiveness isn't being gullible. Be wise. But not vindictive. That's why he says in Matthew 10, let's read it together, go. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. You see the balance? Be wise. Don't be dumb. There's no trophies given out by God for being dumb. In fact, even when Saul was throwing a spear at David, David had to duck. And listen, there's going to be times in your employment or job or in your community, you're going to have to learn how to duck. I have to do that. I have to duck a lot because you don't want to just stand in the way of everybody's foibles and immaturities and evil and take it. You can't handle that. So I learned to duck a little bit, but I'm not vindictive. Gets you wise, but not vindictive. You watch your choices, the friends you hang around with, the activities that you're involved with. You're just wiser with relationships. No, not coy, not cautiously afraid, but wise. But when you make a mistake, you don't become vindictive. Watch that balance, and that'll allow God to be God and you to be the one upon whom he put his name, a child of God. And then you partner together. Paul was talking to his young protege, Timothy, and he said to Timothy something about a man named Alexander the coppersmith. And he says to be wise. Watch this. Let's read it together. 2 Timothy 4. Go. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself. Do you see that partnership? Paul is teaching us that. We got to catch it. He said, but Wayne, what if I give forgiveness and they reject it? It's okay. You give forgiveness because forgiveness is a gift for you, not necessarily for them. It's to keep your soul free from the corrosive effects of sin. Should I take it upon myself to render justice? Can't. It'll mess you up before you even start. So you leave that to the one who can overcome sin. There's only one in the universe that can do that. My role is forgive, trusting that God will do his part, and let's do it together. And watch what God can do. It'll require patience. Forgiveness is one of the toughest characteristics of a Christian called by his name. One of the toughest. But if you can catch this about forgiveness, it'll determine the quality. The quality of your love will immeasurably improve. This one thing. It's a very important message, and I pray that you catch it. So you say, but Wayne, what if they reject it? It's okay. Write down number three. Start with yourself, regardless of their response or lack of it. Start with yourself. It's good for you. It's good for you. If you retain sins, the Bible says they're going to be retained and it'll mess you up. But if you forgive, it'll be forgiven. In fact, that's what John 20, verse 23 says. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven. But if you retain the sins of any, they have been what? Retained. It'll mess you up. It affects you. So be careful. And that's why Romans 12, 18 in your notes says, let's read it, go. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. In other words, as far as it depends on you, you keep your door open. Even if they shut their door to you, you keep yours open. Because it allows God's love to flow through you, to find way, passageway through you. You shut your door to men, it also shuts it to heaven. And your love gets corruptible. Keep it open to God. Forgiveness keeps that open. As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Is it easy? Oh, no. It's the toughest lesson that I've ever learned in my Christian faith, and I'm still learning it and stumbling in it. It's tough. But I tell you, it will determine such a greater quality of your love that it will be worth it a million times over. A million times over. It was in Matthew 18. The story is told of a man who was forgiven much but refused to forgive even little. The Bible says he owed his master 10,000 talents. Now, one talent in today's currency is worth $1 million. One talent. 10,000 talents, you mathematicians. How much is that worth? 10,000 $1 million bills. That's $10 billion. $10 billion is what he owed. An enormous sum that he could never repay. He fell on his knees and said, please forgive me. The Bible says he forgave this servant. $10 billion. Must have made a bad investment on a bunch of property or a country or something. And he forgave him. The Bible says this man turned around and found one of his underlings that owed him $10,000. Now, sounds like a lot, but 10,000 versus 10 billion is like nothing. And that servant fell on his knees and said to this guy who was just forgiven, $10 billion, please forgive me. And he beat this slave and put him in jail. Now, when the big boss heard about it, oh my goodness, let's read what happens. Matthew 18 in your notes, go. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. You see, what he's saying is, this man was thrown in prison and could never repay in prison $10 billion, let alone doing that on free. So in the same way, God is saying, if we don't understand this lesson, it will affect the rest of your life. So it's such an important message. You say, but Wayne, you don't know what some people have done. Well, same is true with my life. There's been stuff in me that you don't want to know about. But here's one of the things that I'm going to give you an assignment for. Are you ready? Sometime this next week, those that you're struggling with, I want you to get their names out of your head and put it on a piece of paper. And this is what I did. I would forgive them, check their name off, and actually take that and burn it. Or throw it away, or rip it into pieces, or run it through a shredder, so that I can remember that person's name, I had written it down and checked it off and said, I forgive so-and-so, and then shredded it. So it doesn't bounce around inside of you. If problems bounce around inside of you, it's very difficult to resolve. Here's a tip for those of you that want to resolve problems. Get the problem outside of your head. Get it on paper. Then you can see it, write options, choose the best option, and then pull the trigger on it and move. And you'll be surprised how you will progress so much more greatly in your life because you're developing a bias for wise action rather than just having a propensity for good intentions. So write it down. And I want to encourage you to do that this week. I want you to take some names and write it down. People that you have a hard time forgiving because something they've done. For example, your uncle. I'd write uncle whatever. And then after I've written down his name, I check it off. And then I would write down, let's say you may need to write down teacher and then check it off. And then forgive that teacher or your boss and check it off. Or your parent and then check it off. Or you might say my spouse and check it off. Or whoever you're having a hard time with, write that down and check it off. What? Oh, yeah, I don't know how that got there, but you understand what I'm saying, though? Get it outside of you. Because if you're just swallowing it in the inside, you don't see how horrible it might be. I'm going to give you an illustration that'll mess your brain up. But a friend of mine went through this. He was with a psychologist friend that he was sharing problems with. And the counselor understood that he wasn't getting it outside of him to solve it. It was all bunched up inside. And so he said, hey, we're going to talk for the next 30 minutes. And he gave him a glass and he said, I want you not to swallow anymore. I just want you to put your saliva, anything that you'd rather swallow, just put it in the glass. And I was a little gross, but he said, but just do that. Well, after 30 minutes, you get, you know, about this much. And so he kept doing this. And then after 30 minutes, the counselor said to this guy named Joe, he said, Joe, I'd like you to take that glass and I'd like you to drink it. Well, the response was just like yours. He said, gross. The counselor said, it's interesting. When you don't see it, you swallow it all the time and don't think a thing about it. But when you get it outside of you, it's a different perspective, isn't it? You can be swallowing all kinds of stuff and not think a thing about it. But once you get it outside and put it on paper, you realize you don't want to do that anymore. It has a different perspective. And so it is. I want you to become someone with a bias for forgiveness and write those names, check them off, run it through a shredder. It's done. Finished. Then let God be God. And you'll find that in the days to come, the quality of your love will increase immeasurably. It was in 1867, here in Hawaii, when King Kalakaua, knowing that the economy of Hawaii was going down, realized he needed some help. So he basically allowed a different constitution to come in that had other people run the state, and he would still be a figurehead, but he wouldn't have authority, signed it. Later on, when he wanted to rescind that, they wouldn't allow him to because they said, no, we've got to keep it, and he signed it again. It's called a bayonet constitution. He died in 1891, and Queen Liliuokalani took over. And when she wanted to say, no, let's take it back to the monarchy, nope, the formal document had been made. There was some uprising. She tried to quell it, but she was thought of as the one who instigated all of this, trying to split the kingdom. People of Hawaii against this new parliamentary kind of democracy going on as a hybrid. And so she was even imprisoned. Now, here's one thing about Queen Liliuokalani. When she was a young girl, she went to royal school right here in town, taught by the missionaries, and she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And in prison, house prison, even though she could have caused a huge military explosion because of her authority, she instead chose to forgive. For she said, it's these white people that came and taught me about Jesus, and that Jesus taught me to forgive. So she wrote a beautiful prayer about forgiveness. And you're about to see that as one of the classic songs of all time by Queen Liliuokalani. Because of her faith in Christ, she said, I'll do my part. God you do yours. Let's take a look. We're here at the Iolani Palace, which was completed in 1882. This place will play a central role in the history of Hawaii, marking the end of the monarchy and the beginning of a new republic. When the Queen took the throne in 1891, Hawaii was locked in a political struggle between people of Hawaiian blood, those numbers which had dwindled down to 35,000, and an influential group of non-Hawaiian reformists convinced that the island's royalty had outlived their usefulness. The Queen's effort to restore the monarchy to Hawaii fell on deaf ears. And after failed efforts, in 1893, she was forced to abdicate her throne to the inevitability of change. 2 years later, an ill-fated rebellion took a momentous turn when a cache of arms was found hidden in her garden. Until this day, no one knows for sure who was responsible for their placement. Although she denied any knowledge of this, nevertheless, this discovery implicated her. And on January 16, 1895, she was confined to an apartment in this Iolani Palace for treason. Shortly thereafter, she signed a document denouncing any claims to the throne and recognizing the legitimacy of the new republic. She remained confined until September of the following year. But during this time, the Queen wrote many songs, among which is the well-known Aloha Oe. But the one we want to take special notice of is called the Queen's Prayer, entitled O Ko Aloha. It was written on March 22, 1895. In it, the Queen tells of her great love for God, a love great enough to ask forgiveness for those who imprisoned her.
Your loving mercy is as high as the heavens, and your truth so perfect. I live in sorrow, imprisoned, but you are my light. Your glory is my support. Behold, see the sins of man. And instead of malevolence or anger, please forgive and cleanse. My nana ino ino, na heva o kanaka, a ka e hui kala, a ma e ma ino. Protect us beneath your wings. And let peace be our portion, now and forevermore.
Have you ever seen anything so beautiful as that? My goodness. And that's how when God sees forgiveness, it's beautiful because it allows him to be God now. And it's not a both and, it's an either or. Let's let God be God and we'll be the children called by his name. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? If you're here today and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I need to receive forgiveness because I have turned my back on God. And I know that God would want to forgive through me. But before that, I have to receive the forgiveness he offers to me. And today I want to do that. I want to receive him as the author of forgiveness because I need his strength in me. For me to do the stuff that you're talking about, I need the author of forgiveness residing in me so that his power can be that which is the engine of my heart. And that's what it means to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's not just gaining knowledge of a religion or a denomination. No. It is entering into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, receiving the forgiveness that he offers to you by his death on the cross, so that his power can now begin to work through you and your families, your decisions, your choices, your future. Without that, you can have religion, you can have Christianity, but if you don't have that personal walk with the Lord, it'll render you powerless. You'll be a Christian without power. If you're here today and you say, I need to receive Christ, I need to receive Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. I want to pray for you. And all I'm asking you to do is to lift a hand in a moment to just let heaven know that that's your choice and decision, not mine. My choice is for you. His choice was made 2,000 years ago on the cross. The next choice is yours. You get to say yes. And if that's your heart, I want you right now just to raise a hand and say, yep, I want to receive Christ. I open my heart. Okay. Yep. I want to receive Christ. Okay. Yeah, you too. Yep. Yep. Just lift your hand and say, that's my choice. All right. Okay. You too. Yeah. Yep. All right. Yeah. Good. You too, sister. Yeah. The Lord sees that. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. God sees those. Okay. You too, brother. God bless you. Yeah. Yeah. You can put your hands down. And those of you that are Christians, you say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I need help in the forgiveness area. It's like a both and for me. I just can't get away from that. I've patterned my life after that. It's messing up my reputation. It's making me a person I don't want to be. That's right, because God never created you to do well handling sin. He can do that. But you're a Christian, you say, gosh, would you pray for me that God's power that resides in me will begin to work through me? Will you pray? Because that's my intention and desire. If that's you, would you raise a hand? Say, yep, I've got some work to do. I've got some work to do. Yeah. Come do your work through me, Lord. All right. We're going to pray. And so I'm going to ask you to stand as we do our final prayer. Would you stand with me? And then we're going to pray. And then we'll sing our final song. I'm going to lead you in prayer. And then you repeat this after me. Would you pray this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came. You died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Forgive me. Forgive through me. We love being your people. Thank you for being our God. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you hear me, so I can hear myself and the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, thank you. This is the cry of our hearts. I pray that you will bless these and lead these who have said yes to you. Thank you for your grace on our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, hey, would you give a hand to these who said yes to Jesus? Congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled The Steps of Forgiveness by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.